listening to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast. And we are now on the official countdown. As of recording this, we are 8 days away from the kickoff to the 2019 NFL season. And with that comes the start of the 2019 fantasy football season. And the entire offseason, we've been getting you ready as well as we possibly could for this moment when you set your first official lineup and get ready to take the voyage into this fantasy football season. On tonight's episode, you're going to be flying solo with Bob. Dan had some scheduling conflicts, and we wanted to go ahead and get this episode out because we have a very special guest on today. The entire offseason, we've been focused on more of your seasonal formats, how to draft, players to look out for, breakouts, busts, players set to explode. If you follow us the entire offseason, you know exactly what we're talking about. But tonight, we're going to focus on getting you ready for those DFS or daily fantasy sports players. Whether you're new or seasoned, our guest is going to be super helpful with getting you ready to dominate in that platform and in that space for fantasy football. Tonight, we're inviting Ryan O'Connell, known as Drafting Underscore King on Twitter for the Fantasy Headliners. If you follow us from the beginning, he was one of the first guests. He's been one of the original supporters of the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast. I've been in communication with Ryan for a while now to try and get him on, and we felt the time was right because this is the last episode before Dan and I get into 3 episodes a week. So when you hear us next week, week one rankings, getting drafty on the draft app, it's all coming back. So I thought this was a great time to bring Ryan on because he is absolutely killing it in the daily fantasies platform and that area. And he's gonna share his expert knowledge to get you ready for those that wanna dive in or already play daily fantasy sports or DFS, whether it's, you know, on draft, which is what we prefer. I know he specializes in DraftKings. We're gonna talk about all that. So this is gonna be a great way to cover all of our bases as we get ready to officially dive in to fantasy football. But before we go ahead and talk to Ryan, we always start off with the most important things, which are important news breaks since the last time. And I'm going to go ahead and give my week 3 preseason standouts because while it's not maybe as long for the starters that as it normally used to be as far as playing in the third preseason game, this is probably our most visibility into what it could be like come week 1. And there were some people that definitely stood out that I want to bring to the attention before we bring on Ryan. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into the important news. And really, the first bit is maybe one of the most important and possibly shocking news items that have dropped since, I don't know, maybe Calvin Johnson retiring seemingly out of nowhere. And that's Andrew Luck. I remember sitting there, I believe it was like Saturday, right around dinner time or so, and my phone lit up and there was a Twitter burst from Adam Schefter that said it. And I looked at it, I was like, wow, is this true? And then you look at it, and then right after Schefter dropped that tweet, it's Bleacher Report, ESPN, and then you're like, wow, what's going on? So the first thing I did was searched out the NFL Network, went online to try and find out everything that was happening. And yeah, Andrew Luck retired from the NFL, stating that he is mentally worn down and did not want to keep going through the pain and recovery cycle that he was going through. And really, when you think about it, you don't blame him at all. Now, let me go over some things that really stand out about Andrew Luck and then the whole thing surrounding his retirement announcement. So the Colts also reached a financial settlement, allowing Luck to keep $24.8 million that they could have tried to get back from him from a signing bonus and roster bonus. So good on the Colts, because really, when you think about it, they should have been focused on building a better offensive line around a generational type of talent at quarterback. If you really look at it over the past couple of years, he's been dealing with some major injuries. I mean, your spleen, shoulder, lower leg. I mean, everything that you can think of. And I don't blame him. This is a guy that went to Stanford, one of the most prestigious schools out there. obviously a smart guy, made a lot of money playing professional football, really carried the Colts teams on his back. I mean, obviously when he was on the field, this team was a totally different animal. Came back last year and had a typical Andrew Luck dominant season. After maybe the first few weeks, it looks like maybe we aren't getting the same quarterback. It looked like he could barely throw the ball, but boy, did he turn it on as the year went on. And some stats to show you in the history books where Andrew Luck ranks amongst the all-time greats. He is second all-time in TD passes in his first six seasons with 171, only behind the great Pittsburgh resident and Miami Dolphins great Dan Marino, had 196. So Dan is so far out there, but Luck finished in second in his first six seasons. He is third all-time in passing yards in the first six seasons with 23,671, only behind Dan Marino and Peyton Manning, two of the all-time greats. Marino had 23,856, and Peyton Manning with a whopping 24,585. And he is the single-season Colts passing leader. He did that in 2014, passing for 4,761 yards. And some of the shocking things that came out of this retirement announcement were, A, the Colts fans booing him as he walked off the field for what could be the last time. And these quote-unquote analysts out there, professional analysts, that are calling Luck out for walking out on his team and not sticking it through. There is no reason why, A, the Colts fans should be booing a guy that literally left it all out on the field. You should be booing the general manager for not putting a stout offensive line. And the sad thing is, this is probably, not probably, it is his best offensive line he's ever played behind. But the accumulation over years was just too much for him. And then you have these professional analysts that are on major platforms that go ahead and basically condemn the guy for deciding what to do with his career. There is no space where we should be able to tell somebody what they can and cannot do when it comes to their career and their life. I thought it was ridiculous, some of them. I know Doug Gottlieb, I think Dan Dockich, I read some. It's just embarrassing. The guy's gone through more than those two will ever know, even though I know Gottlieb was an athlete in the basketball platform. But nobody knows what that's like being a starting quarterback. That's a very, very distinct minority of people that have ever walked this earth that have played as a high-level professional NFL quarterback. So I just think that's all ridiculous. Andrew Luck was one of the greats while he was out there. I know it was a short career, but he stacks up all time. I mean, if he decided to keep playing on, he could have been one of those stat stuffers that go back in the annals of time as one of the top three, four, five in all major passing categories. So Andrew Luck, good luck to you and your future. It takes a man to understand that he's walking away from uber amounts of money over his career, because he would have kept getting another big contract after this one. So Andrew Luck, good on you. Get healthy, and good luck to whatever happens in the future. You're set to do whatever you want to do. And then the sad part about this all is, pretty much right before that, the guy I've called one of the safest RB2s out there, especially if you're drafting a zero RB type of strategy leading up to your drafts, right before that, Lamar Miller, Adam Schefter reports that an MRI confirmed that Lamar Miller tore his ACL and MCL. And I've dealt with leg and feet injuries myself, so these are hard for me personally to watch. I looked at it, but as the hit happened, I sort of looked away. Just really tough to watch. Now, in retrospect, that Duke Johnson trade looks great for the Texans. Now, it looks like Duke Johnson, by proxy, is going to step into the lead role. This is an opportunity that he's been asking for, but I don't think it's going to stay this way. I know rumblings are, hey, maybe they take a look at if Adrian Peterson's available, is LeSean McCoy available, or if Carlos Hyde possibly gets cut, is that somebody that they could go after? So I don't think this is going to be Duke Johnson's job, but he's definitely going to get a lot of work. I know in our League of Record draft a few weekends back, he was in the double-digit rounds, which looks like a steal now. And then I just did a recent full PPR draft where he went, I believe, round six or so. So in the PPR setting, that seems about right to take a chance on him, because he should catch the ball a lot. but it's definitely something to monitor, and it now makes Duke Johnson a viable play moving into the start of the regular season. I just feel like somebody else is going to be coming in as another running back solution, maybe after the preseason week 4 cut. So tough for Lamar Miller. Hope he comes back. Like I said, I've seemingly always had him on my team. This just happens to be the first year where I really don't have any stocks in Lamar Miller, but you know, I know my buddy Ryan in our league of record drafted Andrew Luck, drafted Lamar Miller, and in a dynasty league had, I believe, both, and then Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle. So tough weekend for Ryan. So thoughts out there for Lamar Miller, Andrew Luck, and my buddy Ryan. Cam Newton suffered a midfoot strain that doesn't appear to be serious, and he should be ready for week 1. All the notes coming out from Ron Rivera and the people inside the Panthers camp says it looks like what could have been a big setback is something that shouldn't hinder him come week 1. Like I said, in that recent PPR draft that I just did, I drafted him as my one and only quarterback, so I'm confident in him. You know, when he's healthy and on, he's a top 3, top 5 type of quarterback. So keep an eye on it. But I expect big things from Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers offense going into this season. And two other bits that I didn't really have notated when I made the show sheet, but one that I think is pretty big is somebody that in my 2019 Player Set to Explode episode, he was my wide receiver choice, and that's Robbie Anderson, sidelined with a calf injury. He's listed as day-to-day right now, but soft tissue injuries can be a little bit tricky, especially if he tries to push through it. Does he overcompensate? Does something else pop up? Does it just get worse? Obviously, it's wise for the Jets to just shut him down for the rest of the preseason, but that's something to definitely keep an eye out on when it comes to week 1, especially if you're banking on him as a wide receiver 2, 3 flex. You may not have him available, so it's something to definitely pay attention to as we get closer and as the week gets on here. It looks like DK Metcalf is day-to-day with a knee scope. It's just something to keep an eye on. I know people think he could be a touchdown threat for the Seattle Seahawks, but you know, being injured is sort of his deal, so just something to watch out there. And then the last one, unfortunately, being injured is sort of his deal, is Kiki QT. Speaking Tuesday, Coach Bill O'Brien said he's not hopeful that he'll be ready for week 1. This is a guy I have stock in the league of record and in some other leagues. If you have an IR spot, definitely don't drop him. Put him on there, because depending on what happens as far as what the Texans decide to do with the running back, Kiki QT's healthy. As you saw, when he had some big games, 10 reception games. I know he blew up in the playoffs against the Colts. Just somebody to pay attention to. I wouldn't be in a rush to drop him if you could hold him, because he could, this offense in theory could pass the ball a ton if they don't address any more of the running back situation on that team. So he could be definitely a good value, and if you haven't drafted yet, you could probably get him at even more of a discount than he was, and maybe just sit on him as one of your later picks going in there. So definitely some news that I wanted to cover. And now I want to go ahead and just give a few preseason week 3 standouts. Like I said, this is quote unquote the dress rehearsal for some of the main players. You know, if you were the Packers and the Raiders playing in Canada, you didn't see any of them because the field was in bad condition and they played on an 80-yard field. But these are the players that stood out to me when watching some preseason football this weekend. And for those that are taking the chance, quote-unquote, on Dalvin Cook, boy, he looked good in his preseason debut, and he only needed 2 carries to make some noise. He had 88 yards on 2 carries and broke an 85-yarder for a touchdown that just looked awesome. Showed some wheels. I know he didn't test very fast in the combine, but really showed his ability to, once he gets to the second level, really break through. This is somebody that I like. I just didn't get him really on most of my teams. He was a keeper in my PPR league that I just drafted in, so I'm excited to see what he can do. And all it is health with this guy. If he stays healthy, to me, he's a guarantee for the top 10 as far as running backs are concerned. My second players, because I'm going to call out an entire offense, and yeah, I paid attention to this game because I live in Pittsburgh. We don't shy away from it, but boy, oh boy, really the entire Steelers starting offense looked great. James Conner, after some rumblings that Jalen Samuels could be more involved and maybe be more of a split, yeah, he looked like a total workhorse similar to last year. So any concerns about James Conner, put those to the side. As long as he's healthy, to me, he's a shoo-in for a top 10, could push into the top 5 if he plays all the way throughout the season. Ran the ball well, was involved in the passing game. Everything you want in a workhorse, late round 1/early round 2 type of pick. And the guy that I'm excited to have some stock in, Juju, looked spot on. Targeted, caught everything it seemingly looked like, and had a great move where he started out and then post left towards the middle of the end zone, and Ben found him for a beautiful reception for a touchdown. That's all you needed to see. Juju should be, once again, a target monster. Could lead the league in targets. And really, what this told me is the main weapons should produce, so don't shy away from those guys in fantasy. And I know I've said AB and Lev Bell are two of the better talents at the running back and wide receiver position, but I think the Steelers are set to reload. I don't really see much of a dip in that offense. And James Washington is really staking his claim with a continuation of his strong preseason. I mean, I like the wide receiving core of Juju as the lead dog, and then Moncrief Washington in the background with Vance McDonald, and then you got James Conner and Samuels. I mean, there's a lot to like about the Steelers. I'm looking forward to watching them week 1 against the New England Patriots, who we've had quite a battle with over the past 10 to 15 years. The next guy I want to call out, Matt Breida, and with the news of Jerick McKinnon today having yet another setback, Breida might be one of the best value picks that are out there. You know, still going and right around the double-digit rounds in most of the drafts that I saw. You could say he's looked even just as good or better than Tevin Coleman. He's going to be involved. He rushed for 7 times for 44 yards, adding 2 receptions for 31 yards and a touchdown while playing better and more effectively than Tevin Coleman did. So while I see Tevin Coleman as the lead dog, don't be shocked if Breida shows up and plays often and becomes a split similar to like what we said in Atlanta with Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. So I like Breida. He was definitely a guy that I was glad we picked up in our Dynasty League off waivers when he came in as a rookie. And all it is health with this guy. I know he's nicked up and dinged, but he played through a lot of it last year. And when he did, he really showed out and looked very effective. So if you're still doing best ball drafts leading up to the regular season, get this guy on your team, because you don't need to manage that roster. You just need the best scores. And there are weeks where he could put up some of those best running back type of scores to get into one of those running back slots or flex spots. Probably a name I'm going to bring up when we talk to Ryan here in our daily fantasy primer. And the last group I want to bring up, once again, it's more of a group and not so much a specific player, but the Saints starting offense. Breeze only played 1 preseason drive this preseason, but it was good for 4 for 6, 68 yards, 1 touchdown. Mike Thomas catches both targets for 39 yards and touchdown, and he literally mossed a defender to catch that touchdown. So those two look in sync. Look at Mike Thomas just to continue doing what he did really over his entire career so far. Kamara still looks like one of the more dynamic pass catchers out of the backfield, and we know he's a touchdown monster. I like Latavius Murray. You got Jared Cook. So once again, another offense that should just be ready to dominate when it gets ready for week 1 and beyond into the regular season. There's just too many pieces out there. Love to see Traquan Smith step it up. There's still Ted Ginn, so one of those two are going to be factors. So once you've got a first ballot Hall of Famer like Drew Brees out there, only good things are going to happen for one of the better offenses in the league. So that covers all the important player news and week 3 preseason standouts that I wanted to go over today. And now let's get ready to bring on, like I said, one of my favorite people out in the fantasy football community, one of the original supporters of the Not Takes Fantasy Football podcast, one of our original and only guests that we've ever had on, and a guy that is just doing wonderful things for those daily fantasy football DFS players. He's at Drafting_King, representing the fantasy headliners. Let's go ahead and do our DFS primer with Ryan O'Connell. If you've listened to the Not Takes Fantasy Football podcast before, you know just how much we love the Draft app. We continually do best ball drafts throughout the year, and during the season, we have a weekly segment called Getting Drafty on Draft that drops every Thursday. Now we are proud to announce our affiliation with the best fantasy app out there. We would greatly appreciate if you would support our show by using our new link, draft.com/NotTakes. For those of you that don't already have a FanDuel or Draft account, signing up to Draft using that link gets you a free $3 entry to any contest of your choice after your initial deposit. We personally recommend a season-long best ball draft, and trust us, when you start, you're gonna be hooked. Once you get your account situated, come challenge myself or Dan on Draft. You can find me, Bob, on Draft at NotTakesBob. That's NotTakesBob. And you can find Dan at DJBenoit33. That's DJBenwa33. Once again, our link is draft.com/NotTakes. That's NotTakes. We can't wait to see you all get drafty on Draft with us. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said earlier, I am pleased to welcome back to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast Ryan O'Connell, representing Fantasy Headliners, and like I said, just doing massive things in the daily fantasy football DFS space. Ryan, thanks again for coming on to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back, man. It's been a long time and definitely been looking forward to this.
Yeah, man, just looking at your growth since the last time we talked, you know, as I stated earlier when I was going through the introduction and player news I was doing is, man, we got a lot of respect for you. You were one of the first people that sort of reached out and gave us a hand as we got the podcast started, and one of our original guests, and, you know, put our work out there when we did the draft app contest. We did sort of our first best ball review. So yeah, it's really great to get you back on and see how well and what knowledge you could share with our listeners for DFS.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy, man. Like, I honestly have to just feel blessed. I was very lucky. I started, you know, the Twitter scene last year and tried to establish my own YouTube platform, and was a lot of work. Met some great connections doing that, and that's actually what got me connected with Jake Hubman. He's the CEO and the lead man of Fantasy Headliners. He basically started it from scratch, and we now have 46,000 subscribers. So joined his team late last year, once I found my passion and my calling in DFS.
Yeah, so why don't you take a moment and plug all of your social media, plug the Fantasy Headliners, just give all that information. We'll close with it again, but just while we're talking about, why don't you go ahead and plug that before we get started?
Absolutely. If you guys are looking for DFS advice, you can find me on Twitter at @drafting_king. If you're looking for great fantasy football advice, you can always find myself and the whole team at the Fantasy Headliners on YouTube. It's the Fantasy Headliners on YouTube. We also have a website, fantasyheadliners.com. We actually just produced our first ever draft guide for only $19.99, so very affordable, to really help the people get ready for the redraft season as the season approaches very quickly here.
Yeah, like I said, once we get into it, you're going to see what type of knowledge Ryan has, because every time I look at the Twitter feed, it's big winning, smart plays, and that's what we're trying to give. Because, you know, basically what I said before we jumped on here, Ryan, is what we've been doing at Not Takes has pretty much been getting ready for more of the traditional fantasy football type of season. And I felt, you know, as I was talking to you, this is just a great time, because there might be the new players that maybe just found the podcast. There might be those seasoned daily players that maybe are saying, you know what, I'm very hit or miss on it. I think it was just the perfect timing to get ready, especially with week one coming next week, to give what I call a DFS primer with yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited for week one, man. I've been just looking at all the salaries, and the fact that they put these salaries out so early on is definitely to our advantage. You know, if you're like really involved in fantasy football or just really passionate about it, you can definitely pick up on some of these sleepers, you could call them, or value picks, because when injuries occur, or trades or whatever, whenever a situation changes, it's going to open up the door of opportunity for someone to become extremely valuable and put you over the top and definitely help you win some money in DFS specifically, but it's also going to help in your redraft. Like when you're looking for players on waiver wires or those start sits, it goes hand in hand with DFS. It's just DFS is essentially just a week long focus for your season long format. So
yeah, so we'll definitely get into that, but before we really start, just give some background on yourself. How long have you been doing fantasy football for now, and see whether it's your own personal or been, like you said, you started last year trying to build up your profile as far as becoming more of an expert in the space. Just give some background on that to sort of give your background into fantasy football.
Well, I've played football my whole life, and I've been playing fantasy football since I was like 16. And I wouldn't say I basically started doing it what I call professionally last year, essentially. Like, right. I got on YouTube. I wanted to create a YouTube channel focused on fantasy football to generate more income. And when I did that, I got involved with Twitter, and that's how I met all my connections. And it really just progressed very, very quickly, more than I could have ever expected, and made some great people, some great connections. And I got very lucky to where I landed with such a great team.
Yeah, and if you notice a trend with what Ryan's saying, basically – put myself in Ryan's shoes, and that's sort of where, you know, I first met you. You sort of hooked us up, and you know, we just broke a threshold for us, which I thought was awesome, which was 1,000 followers. That was sort of a stretch goal I had going into this season. So like you said, the fantasy football community out there, especially on Twitter, is really receptive to helping others grow and share information. So you know, I couldn't ask for much more, probably the way you feel getting yourself onto Twitter and trying to grow.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is definitely some great people on Twitter, especially in the fantasy football community, that makes it so great. Obviously, you have those toxic people, but for the majority part, there are a ton of people willing to share information to help you grow and help you get where you need to be. All it comes down to is the passion and the commitment to it.
Exactly. So speaking specifically to daily fantasy football, or as we refer to it as DFS, roughly how long have you been playing that specifically?
To be honest, I started playing seriously last year, and it just took off.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. I got engaged to my now lovely wife, and like I said, I was looking for means to make extra revenue, you know, kind of help pay for the wedding. And so I was trying to do the YouTube, and that wasn't working out. And my wife is like, why don't you try DraftKings? You know, you're so knowledgeable about fantasy football. Why don't you just play for money? And I was like, all right, I'll try it out. You know, whatever. And the first week I made a couple $100. I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. Next week I made $800, and I was like, all right, this is really cool. And then I just went on a heater for like 7 weeks straight, making over $1,000 in profit each week. And I was like, sweetheart, whatever wedding you want, you can have. Let's make this happen. And that's when it's definitely clicked for me. I started treating it like a part-time job, essentially. You know, I would come home from my 9 to 5, and I would put in my research. I would put in that time. I would study what kind of contests I want to target and what kind of lineups and the people I want in those lineups.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's an awesome wife you got there. Just basically tell you, please go play fantasy football. You know about it. So big up to your wife on that one.
Well, you can understand why I definitely married her.
Yeah, right. Put the ring on that immediately. Exactly. So yeah, so congratulations on that, because I know as we were talking, especially in the offseason, yeah, I know you were really planning that out. So I'm sure that was exciting and stressful time as well, getting that all ready.
Oh, super busy, yes. And it wouldn't have happened so flawlessly without her. I mean, she's just awesome.
Good to hear. Yeah. Good to hear, man. So let's sort of take a step back. So, you know, as a growing podcast, we sometimes get new listeners that might say, look at the title and say, DFS Primer, what does that even mean? So take a step back and break down, what are the differences between DFS or daily fantasy and your normal season-long fantasy football leagues for those that are maybe first-timers for it?
So season long is normally 16 weeks. It's for the whole regular football season. But DFS can be, I guess, condensed into a single matchup or a single week, depending on what kind of format you want to target. Now, a single matchup is what we call a showdown slate, where like the Cowboys take on the Redskins and you only can select from those teams. And then a week-long format would be, you know, based on whatever teams are playing on Sunday through Monday normally, or just on Sunday. You know, you got 12 games or whatever the case may be, and you have to select from a player pool based on the salary they allocate to you, what kind of players you want to be, you want on your team essentially. And the way we dive into that, we look at the players, and it's the same way you look at your season log, right? Who should I start or sit for this week? Well, we obviously want our studs. We want the Christian McCaffrey, so we want the Zeke's. But with when there's salary involved, you have to find those value plays. You got to find those kind of middle of the pack guys to fill in so you can have those studs and still be a viable option to win money.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing for maybe those first time DFS players is the goal I see most of the time is, boy, I didn't get a chance to draft that player, that stud, so I'm just going to get him, I'm going to get this other stud, and this, I'm going to get Patrick Mahomes, and then they're left with no budget and three spots left. So it's really a fine balance of picking the studs that you are very confident will produce based on that money that you're allocating, and to your point, really scouring the matchups and saying, for this value, I think he can outproduce, which to me provides that winning formula in this type of format.
Yeah, and to any of your listeners out there, if you guys are trying to become a more successful DFS player, what I'm actually doing, I have a DFS school I actually started. I'm basically teaching you everything you need to know how to become a more successful DFS player, from roster construction, the tournaments you should be targeting, basically the breakdown of bankroll management, what it means, the chalk, when to fade it, what it means, and when you should go with chalk. Just basically break down everything you need to know. And we're doing that on Patreon. You can find that under the DFS tab at thefantasyheadliners.com. So if you are interested in taking your DFS game to the next level, I definitely suggest you guys check that out.
Yeah, and when I go to put the show release out there on Twitter, Ryan, if you think about it, maybe just tag some of those you know, sites or whatever, maybe in the comment section, if you think about it, that way people can find it on there as we tweet out that the show's been dropped. So if you think about it, and that way you get all your stuff out there, and then they can quickly link to it as well. So that'd be great.
Definitely.
So last year when we had you on, we were talking specifically about best ball, and we even did a draft that you recorded and put out on YouTube, which might have been my worst best ball draft of all time. I won't go there, but we work specifically on the draft platform. What other fantasy football daily sites do you play on? I know you mentioned DraftKings. Do you still do draft? Can you let people know sort of where you like to play daily fantasy football?
Absolutely. Kind of an ironic story for you. We're actually now partnered with draft.com.
Awesome.
So yeah, I definitely do a lot of best ball drafts. That's when I'm doing best ball, I strictly do it on draft.com. And when I do DFS, I do, I would say 95 to 99% on DraftKings. If I see a big discrepancy or opportunity on FanDuel, I'll take advantage. But I'm a PPR guy at heart, so for me, I like the DraftKings format just because of that PPR scoring and the bonuses associated with the scoring format on the site.
Yeah, I normally, over the past year or two, when I do DFS more, I have been playing on FanDuel, but there are just some things I've sort of been like, okay, maybe I want to try something else. So, you know, I primarily play on draft, but I think this year I'm definitely going to go into DraftKings and maybe use that as my main platform. But while we're at it, you know, you heard the drop earlier in the show, but draft.com/NotTakes. If you want a free entry, if you're a newcomer to the draft app, we'll give you $3 upon your initial deposit. Ryan, do you have any thing for possible new players for Draft or DraftKings that you'd like to plug while we're on that?
Absolutely, yeah. If you use the promo code Headliners on Draft.com, you'll get this same $3 entry. We do a lot of weekly videos for Draft.com since they are our sponsors. So what we'd like to do, if you follow us, it's TFH Jake. That's Jake Hubman on the Fantasy Headliners, or Drafting_King. Is myself. You can find us on draft.com, and what we'll do is we'll basically send out an invite to anyone who's following us. Hey, we're getting ready to do a video. Come join our quote-unquote mock draft.
Yeah, and I know right before we jumped on, we had a gentleman reach out, and I got tagged on it by yourself, asking if there were any tournaments going on in draft. So yeah, I'm at Not Takes Bob. I know Ryan, you're at Drafting_King, I believe, on draft. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, feel free to tag us. I'm always game for getting into best ball drafts. We do a weekly draft segment every Thursday night. So hit us up on there, and we'd love to compete against new people. But going back to DraftKings, so what kind of strategies? I know there's not a sort of one size fits all, but when you go into each week and you're getting ready to set up lineup in DraftKings, what are some techniques or strategies that you go in and try to implement each time you set a lineup?
So it really depends if you want to go what format you're targeting, right? So if we're targeting like a cash lineup, it's going to be much more safer and compared to a GPP and what kind of size GPP I'm entering that lineup in. So that's the first thing I'm looking at, what kind of contest I'm targeting. And then I'm looking at each individual position before I even look at anything. I want to see, all right, are there some good pricings at the quarterback position, which there normally is. You should always pay down for quarterback. Right. Tip number one for you guys. That one's free. but then, you know, I'll look at the running backs, and maybe everyone's overpriced, in my opinion, for that week. Then that tells me I have to kind of shrink my player pool and be very stingy with the running backs I select for that week, and maybe open it up a little bit more at the wide receiver end and just go all the way down to defense, and then get an overall feel of where I want to go and start building my lineups. Another thing that really helps me to target these players and kind of create my player pool is I go to a site called scoresandodds.com. Basically anywhere you can find the over unders for certain games, and then I write down the top 3 to 5 highest projected games, and then also the top 3 to 5 total implied score games.
Yeah, to me, that's a great method. And I know if you've listened to us in last season when we did the weekly draft contest, that's one of the talking points that Dan and I bring up when we do rankings and our draft contest, is looking for those projected high scores, because if you haven't known, Vegas knows what they're doing. So more than likely,
absolutely,
that total is going to be pretty much right in the range. So yeah, anytime you can target those high scoring games that fits within the type of team you're trying to construct, it's always a recipe for a greater chance at success in this type of format.
But one thing that kind of gets overlooked is team implied points. And what that basically means, like maybe it's not the highest scoring game on the slate. Let's say Cowboys against the Redskins. I don't know why I'm picking on the Redskins, but you know, you maybe the over under is 45, but the Cowboys are favored by 14. Now, right? So yeah, that tells me that their team implied points is going to be much higher than someone who might be in a higher scoring matchup. And what team implied points means is Vegas is basically saying this team is going to score 28, 32 points, whatever it breaks down to. And that can give you some sneaky insight. Okay, it might not be the top game on the slate, the highest scoring matchup, but this team is supposed to score a buttload of points, and it's definitely a team I need to pay attention to.
Yeah, so in that scenario, you threw out Dallas against Washington with Dallas being the higher scorer. You could probably find a great value on a player like Michael Gallup that can help keep your budget in control if you want to maybe target a couple of those stud type players that are going to be higher cost.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in DraftKings, what's the normal lineup? Like what kind of position is it? Quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide? Can you sort of give an idea of what type of lineup you're trying to set in DraftKings?
Yeah. you have one starting quarterback, one starting defense, one starting tight end, two running backs, three wide receivers, and a flex spot, which could be running back, wide receiver, or tight end. Now, typically, when I'm building these lineups, I'm always using three running backs. They touch the ball the most, they have the most upside, and they're generally safer options than, say, a wide receiver or tight end who are definitely more volatile on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it makes sense. You want to get the opportunity, which running backs outside of those studs, wide receivers are going to touch the ball the most as far as those skill position players are concerned. So, yeah, definitely some strategy there as far as DraftKings are concerned. And now I want to shift it back because you mentioned your partners with them. I personally love, my favorite is best ball and even weekly contests through the draft app. So what are some strategies that you attempt to implement specifically when you're doing those season-long best ball lineups where, just as a primer, you basically set your lineup based on who you draft and it's the highest scoring player for that category. They automatically set your score, and then at the end of the year, it's your final total score wins you based on what type of contest you're in. So what strategies do you use when dealing with best ball type drafts?
So best ball is completely different than redraft. In best ball, you're definitely going to have to take what I call it the Ricky Bobby approach. If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
So we're obviously trying to take more risk. But what I like to do, I try to do like these $1 contests, 10 to 12 people.
Right.
And just trying to get an overall feel of where everyone's going to get kind of an idea of who are the quote unquote values in my mind. So I'll do, you know, 10 to 20 of those just for research.
Right.
And once I get an overall feel based on the environment, because it changes on a week to week basis. But once I do that, I will start to target some of these value players later in draft and really solidify the running back position earlier. I'm always waiting on quarterbacks. Like, my main guy I like to target right now is Matt Ryan. He's going in the 9th, 10th round, roughly. I had a lot of Andrew Luck, so that made me basically throw up in my mouth when I saw him retire. Because I was looking at my allocations. You know, I maybe have $800 to $1,000 already in best ball formats, and he was $213 or something crazy. I was like, well, you know, you can light that money on fire.
Yeah, so for those that are maybe new to draft, so what are the implications like that? You've completed best ball drafts, and now Lamar Miller goes down for the entire year. Andrew Luck retires. What's the impact if you're not paying attention when drafting in best ball type settings?
It's extremely painful because there's no waiver wires, right? So you draft a team and it's a very deep team. Obviously, I have backups at the quarterback, as you should have backups at basically every position. I think it's 18 rounds.
Right.
So you're going to have a lot of depth there, but there are no waiver wires. So if you're not paying attention and you draft, I don't know, Calvin Johnson, just because you think he might come back, well, you know, you're going to get you're just dead roster space, essentially. Andrew Luck, the guy I have a lot of, well, he's not going to be playing this year, so my backups are going to have to definitely overproduce or hold their own for me just to have a chance to make the money in that league. So it's definitely something to pay attention to. Anytime there's you know, breaking news like that, when Duke Johnson basically became the RB1 in Houston.
Right.
I am now actively going out on draft.com and targeting Duke Johnson later in drafts. Specifically the night of, because not everyone's informed or paying attention. After a week, pretty much everyone knows. But as soon as the news happens, like especially if you're on Twitter, you kind of have a couple hour to maybe a 24-hour advantage over the rest of the competition where you can take advantage of those people who may not be paying attention.
Yeah, and so Ryan brought up a few really great points. So to give sort of some insight on how an impact like that can occur when you draft a player and he goes down and maybe you didn't think ahead to maybe protect yourself more. So last year I did one best ball draft where I just sat on quarterbacks, and I took Big Ben and Tyrod Taylor, and thinking that, okay, I thought Tyrod could have a really good year in Cleveland. And once that injury happened, that basically left me with Big Ben. So when the Steelers bye week came, I got no points from the quarterback. So you sort of have to find that balance of, do you have two players that, like in the quarterback or tight end position, that you're pretty darn confident will make it through the season, so that way once the one goes on the bye, you have the other. But if you're waiting and drafting players with a possible concern, that's where you might want to draft a third player in that, you know, in this example, quarterback pool, because, you know, getting a 0-1 week can really hurt you. And then if Big Ben were to go down or miss a game or two, I'm eating zeros at that position for multiple weeks, which can be impactful there. So it's definitely a different strategy.
Oh, 100%. I mean, some of the reason I made such a big profit last year on draft.com is because I didn't draft Le'Veon Bell at all. So anyone taking chances on Le'Veon Bell, you know, they're basically out of the running. So in these bigger contests, like I did a couple $100 and $250 contests against three people. So you're like, all right, well, they're super stacked. That doesn't really hurt them. Well, when Le'Veon Bell's like one of the first picks off the board, and I got other guys like, you know, Todd Gurley instead, well, now I have the advantage over you because you just wasted that pick and he's got a zero the whole time, and you think he's going to play. So you draft in your mind, you're like, all right, well, I only need, you know, three or four running backs because I got Le'Veon. Well, Le'Veon didn't end up playing. So the same concern comes up this year with Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
People definitely need to pay attention to this. Yes. Do I think Zeke's worth the risk in the second, third, fourth round? Absolutely. I mean, if you can get him at that kind of value, absolutely snag it up. But do pay attention, maybe even draft Tony Pollard, at his rookie backup, kind of as a safety net later in drafts. Just something to pay attention to, especially in those best ball leagues.
Yeah, so, I mean, calling back to the contest we did last year when you jumped on the podcast, I think I picked second, and I did take Le'Veon Bell because I thought he's coming back. I could get through 4 weeks. And that crushed me because it was like a 12-team league, and I got stuck with running backs like TJ Yeldon, Matt Breda, Javorius Allen. So I was behind the eight ball immediately. So good thing to think of as you're attempting best ball leagues, especially when you're in those that are 10, 12 people deep. You got to pay attention to those injuries or holdouts and things of that nature. So you brought it up earlier, swinging back to DraftKings. It sounds like you're more willing to pay up or pay higher for running backs in DraftKings. Is that fair to say? When you're looking to spend top dollar, is that a position that you're willing to spend the top dollar on week over week?
For me, it all is derived based on their salary. For me, it's kind of a mathematical approach, not to sound too nerdy, but I basically have derived a formula to figure out, is a player worth his salary? And by doing that, I look at their salary, and normally these top guys, they're very pricey. So that means they have to have a huge performance. And I mean, 9 out of 10 times they're going to, you know, provide that given the matchup. But it also makes it harder to exceed those expectations compared to, like, for week one, if we're looking at it, Dalvin Cook, he's 6K. So based on my formula, his expectations should be somewhere between 18 and 20 DraftKings points. And by breaking it down like that, all right, can he make 18 PPR points for this week going against Atlanta Falcons? Yeah, I think so. I think he should have, you know, at least 1 to 2 touchdowns, couple catches, probably close to 100 yards on the ground. So that sounds like 18 points to me very easily.
Yeah, and that's a great way to approach it. I come from an analytics background too. So, yeah, using those data points and figuring that out is a smart way to approach it, because the data's out there. It's just how you want to use it. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, to answer your question, I guess, yes, I am paying up for, if I'm spending the most money at any one position, it's definitely the running backs. The positions I'm typically paying down at, number one, I'm never paying top dollar for quarterback. They will never really give you that huge advantage over the rest of the pack, right?
Right.
They're all pretty talented. They're all going to put up 20, 25 points. Not that big of a difference, especially when you look at their salary. Like Patrick Mahomes is 7,100 or 7,000 for week one, and Kirk Cousins is like 5K. So $2,000 extra in my pocket, and I get Kirk Cousins taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, yeah, I'll take that all day, because the difference is isn't going to be that great, especially when Patrick Mahomes is taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
So that's one position I pay down at. Tight end, if I don't have the salary based on the pricing that week, I will basically punt the position. I will look for the most viable option, like a Herdin or maybe Gesicki or anyone I think that can catch the ball once and fall in the end zone, just to meet, you know, those salary expectations I already talked about. That way I can get those stud running backs and good wide receivers, and I'm also paying down at defense as well. The cheapest viable quarterback, tight end, and defense is definitely the strategy I take. Pay up at running back and look for value plays at wide receiver, because it's so volatile. Even those cheap guys like John Brown, they can have huge outings and make such a difference.
Yeah, that's the type of player where all it takes is one play and he's made his salary up right there, that type of player.
Oh, yeah, and then some. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and then there's weeks where, like, Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins, even though they're studs, they can get locked down or have a bad week. And if they cost you, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 out of your $50,000 salary, and they don't perform like you expect them to, like they need to meet, let's say, 27 or 20 points just to make that salary expectation, well, now they're letting you down, and they're definitely going to keep you from making a profit that week.
Yep. So to me, that's a sound way to look at it. It makes a ton of sense. And like I said, if you follow Ryan at @drafting_king, you'll see the results, and he knows what he's talking about there. So we're about 8 days away is the time of recording this for week one to kick off. What are some matchups as you're starting to look ahead, since the salary is already out there, that you're looking to exploit? Like, for instance, I'm seeing the Ravens against the Dolphins. That would be a good one where you could probably get value at the quarterback and tight end. You've got the Cowboys against the Giants. What are some matchups that you're looking to possibly exploit getting ready for some DFS slate on week one of the NFL season?
Well, I think I kind of alluded to it pretty much throughout the podcast, but I really like the Minnesota Vikings week one. And a lot of it has to do with their pricing. I think they're underpriced. Kirk Cousins is $5,500. Dalvin Cook is $6,000. And Adam Thielen and
Stephon
Diggs. Yeah, they're both reasonably priced. They're actually the priciest on the team. So if you do a trio of Cousins, Dalvin Cook, and maybe Thielen against the Atlanta Falcons, which I could see as a very high-scoring game, very easy to move the ball against Atlanta Falcons, even with their, you know, Pro Bowl safety coming back and all that. They were bottom-of-the-pack defense last year, and I expect them to definitely meet those expectations and provide a good salary saving for you guys. So the Minnesota Vikings is the stack I love for week one. I do like I know it's not the sexiest pick, but I kind of like Leonard Fournette against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked everything I've seen, read about Fournette. He was a guy that in season-long leagues, I was trying to target sometime in the third round. If the guy's healthy, I think he will perform. It's just he's been really dinged up, but he's a player that can blow up at any moment.
Yeah, and he's definitely a player you should consider more for GPPs. GPPs is, you're kind of – you want to be a little bit more contrarian. Those cash games, you're going with the chalk, which basically means you're going with those high favorites. So, like Zeke against the Giants, yeah, I'm taking Zeke with the Giants if I can fit him in all day long.
Right.
That's if he shows up to camp. And that's, like I said, I brought up this before. Pay attention to those injuries, those holdouts, you know, those signings. They definitely create value. There are definitely big events you need to pay attention to that can change the dynamic of your lineup every day or every week.
Right. Yeah. And you brought up one sort of concept I don't want to necessarily glaze over, and that's the concept of a stack. And I like to try to implement that where you sort of have that feeling and the data and the implied points and the total all says target players from this team. So I know, like, last year, popular stack that I would try to obtain is Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and name one of the Rams receivers when they were all healthy. I think stacking sometimes can be a great option to exploit a matchup and still work within your budgetary concerns.
Oh, absolutely. Because if the Vikings go off that week and put up 45 points, I'm cashing in basically any format I do. I can't do any wrong there.
Yep. Yeah. So just think of that concept. Sometimes, you know, as a new player, you want to say, okay, I want this player, this player, this player. But if you really study the data, a stack is a really effective way to go and attack a potential goldmine of a matchup there. So,
and to kind of pivot off what you're talking about right now, you're talking about stacks. And what that essentially has to do with is positive correlation with your roster construction. And what positive correlation means, we're trying to tell a story, right? When you're building your lineup, you're telling a story. Like, I'm basically saying, but when I stack the Vikings, I think they're going to score a lot of points against the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. That's a pretty easy story to tell. But then when you bring in your other players, like your defense and this and that, you want them all to be correlated. Never start a defense against your quarterback. That's a negative correlation.
Right.
For your defense to do better, he has to intercept that quarterback, you know, create turnovers and stuff like that. It's never going to be positive correlation. So if you like Zeke, maybe start the Cowboys as your defense. So the more turnovers they get, the more they stop the Giants, the more opportunities for Zeke. That is what I call a positive correlation. Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen. If Kirk Cousins does well, Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs most likely will have a good game. Those are positive correlations. Those are the type of relationships you want in your lineups and how you tell your story.
Yeah, that's another great point. And just for those in seasonal leagues that want to stream defenses, look at the Cowboys' first three matchups. They could be a gold if you look to stream defenses. So a little off subject, but as you brought it up. So we've gone
Who they got week two and three? I know they got the Giants, and I mean, they are named Eli the starter. So yeah, sign me up for that.
Yeah, they got the Redskins week two, and they got the Dolphins week three.
Now, the only thing that makes me nervous about the Dolphins is Ryan Fitzmagic, because, like, even though he can throw five interceptions in one game, he can also be down 35-0 and throw five touchdowns in, like, the drop of a hat. Like, the guy is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely interested what he can do in Miami. He obviously doesn't have nearly as much talent as he did in Tampa Bay, but he's definitely someone I don't really feel like picking on all the time. I kind of like the Chargers week one against the Colts now that Luck retired. Jacoby Brissett, I mean, they've been holding him out all preseason because Andrew Luck was hurt. So now you're throwing him in basically week one, and he might be a little rusty since he basically played none of 2018, and coming against a very elite defense like the Chargers, who have a very strong pass rush and a good secondary. Yeah, that could be a recipe for success for you guys week one, streaming in those redraft formats and DFS as well.
Yeah, Chargers is another great call. It's actually a defense I've targeted in season-long leagues along with the Cowboys for those first couple of matchups. So yeah, great opportunity, especially after Luck announced his retirement. So we've gone over what is DFS. We've gone over DraftKings concepts. We've gone over draft concepts. Are there any other tidbits that we might have missed that you'd like to share before we wrap things up here?
The biggest thing I can teach you guys, and the simplest way to put it, is what I'm trying to teach my students in my DFS school, what I'm trying to share my knowledge with you guys, is try to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond. And what I mean by that is don't be going out and trying to win the millionaire maker. It's not going to happen. If you want to do that, just simply go out and buy a lottery ticket, right? Because you probably will have more success in that than the millionaire maker. Because whenever you go against these sharps or professionals that are max entering these kind of contests, you're already at a disadvantage. So try to stick to the single entry and the three entry max as long as your budget will allow you to do that. Basically, any tournament you enter into, if you cannot max enter that because of budgetary reasons, you should avoid that contest right then and there. Never target the millionaire maker. There's too many people involved. Target those smaller contests. Be smart with your contest selection, and I promise you, you're going to have a higher rate of success, and you're going to have more fun. Because when you're winning, I mean, who doesn't like to have some extra money in their bank account while they're watching football?
Amen. Amen. I totally agree there. Yeah. Last season was a good season for me on draft, so I really enjoyed it. Really helped me with the next our draft weekend we just had. So I mean, it's a really fun way to add some variety into what you do on your season long leagues as well. So Ryan, why don't you go ahead and plug all of your information, your social media, all your stuff again before we wrap things up.
All right. If you guys are trying to become a better DFS player, I highly suggest you check me out on Twitter. It's drafting_king. You can also sign up for our Patreon package at thefantasyheadliners.com. Simply click on the DFS tab. You can sign up, scroll down to the DFS tier. It's simply $20 a month. And if you look on my Twitter feed, you're going to see all my big wins, what I'm capable of. And I promise you, my goal for you guys is basically to make you feel like you underpaid for that Patreon package. Also, you can follow all my team members. We're here at the Fantasy Headliners on YouTube. Check us out on Twitter. You got KRich1532 on Twitter. You got Fantasy Headliners, which is Jake Hubman. His Twitter handle is Fantasy Headliners without the A in it. So it's FNTSY Headliners on Twitter. And check out our YouTube channel. We got start sits, waiver wires. We got all the information you need for your redraft season. And if you want to know more, I'm going to be bringing a little taste on YouTube as soon as the season starts. But if you want the nitty gritty and the great in-depth details, you're going to have to follow me on Patreon.
Awesome, man. What a great segment to sort of wrap up our preseason, get ready for the regular season, and focus on DFS. Ryan, thanks again for joining the show.
No problem. Very glad to be back. Nice talking with you, Bob.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Once again, thanks to Ryan for coming on and sharing that great knowledge as far as daily fantasy sports, also known as DFS, is concerned. If you didn't pick up any pointers from there, then you just weren't paying attention. This guy knows exactly what he's talking about. He's a great resource, and make sure to check out all of the resources that he plugged there at the end of the segment. Ryan, thanks again for coming on. But let's go ahead and close this show up. As always, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at NotTakesFF. That's NotTakesFF. Twitter and Instagram. We just went over 1,000 followers on Twitter, so thank you to everybody that helped us grow. We really appreciate all the support and can't thank you enough for following along on this journey that we're taking. If you want to email us, go ahead and email us, NotTakesFF@gmail.com. You can visit our podcast homepage, anchor.fm/NotTakesFF. That's anchor.fm/NotTakes. As I always say, you can listen to us there. You can follow and interact with us there. Best thing you can find on there, though, is the link to the 12 major platforms that we're on. So if you have a platform of choice, you can link directly to that and then subscribe. If you do listen specifically on Apple Podcasts, give us 15 seconds even of your day. Give us a 5-star rating and review if you like what we do. It really means a lot to us. It helps us grow as people search for fantasy football on the Apple Podcast platform. And I just appreciate it. I'll speak for myself. I know Dan appreciates it as well, but it really means a lot to me. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. So this is a way you can help us out without having to donate any money or financial aspects to the podcast. Any platform that you listen on, though, please subscribe. Next Thursday is really the start of our three-a-week type of show format where we'll go over our week one rankings, and then we'll do Thursday night, Sunday night, Tuesday night, and follow that format. So make sure you're subscribed to not miss any episode that drops. And as Dan always says, shout out to his brother Tom for the intro and outro song that we use. It's a song called Alma. Makes a great song that really fits what we're all about. And you can follow him on That Dude Tom on SoundCloud. He's got some big things coming. So once again, Tom, thank you for letting us use that song. And let's just keep our fingers crossed that there's no more injuries, no more holdouts. And we'll see you next week when we give our week one rankings right here at the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast. I will talk to you all later.